Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for joining us this Tuesday morning. I do appreciate it. And John Finn kicking us off. John's with the Lewis and Clark Library. Thanks for stopping by, John.
Thanks for having me, Troy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always fun to talk library, and it's summer. We still got a skosh of summer left.
Just a little bit.
But the library didn't go on vacation. I mean, there's lots going on out there. It wasn't summer vacation time, and you kind of let the library just go on a skeleton crew and nothing happened. And you've had a busy summer.
So summer is our it's our playtime. You know, we have summer reading program all summer long. We have programs throughout the summer. We had some big programs this year. We had a polka guy come from Wisconsin who did some pint-sized polka out on the Anchor Park lawn. Easily 200 kids out there just dancing to polka music. It was great.
You were out there too, though, weren't you?
I was out there, yep.
Were you dancing, though?
I did the chicken dance a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah.
I want to see that. We need to put that up on the YouTubes. Lots of stuff, it sounds. I mean, the summer went well, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. We had a big summer.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's not done yet because we have a movie coming up. Is this sort of the exclamation point on the end of the summer?
Yeah, you know, every summer we do what we call the Director's Cut movie series, and that's an outdoor movie on the lawn at Anchor Park, where Montana Shakespeare in the Parks does their thing. And so we started off the summer with a screening of The Music Man, and then we're finishing this Thursday night at sunset about 8:30 with a screening of the 1985 movie The Goonies.
Yeah, The Goonies. And it's the Director's Cut. I mean, it's an incredible movie. We used to live in Oregon for a few years, my family and I, and so we know the scenes. You can see that and go, oh, I know where that is. I know where that is. We were talking before the show started, John and I. I've been to the Goonies house, the Goonies Museum. I've made the pilgrimage.
Absolutely.
This is one that it's fun for everybody, isn't it? I mean, this is a good movie for the family.
It is, absolutely.
Is that what goes into it? Is we want to find a movie that the parents don't just get through, but they're going to enjoy as well. Everybody's going to actually have a good time.
Yeah, the way that we've done this every year is the first movie of the summer is the one that's a classic, something that adults might really get into. And that movie always features a library or a librarian. And then the second movie of the summer is all about families. So last year we showed The Incredibles, and we had, you know, almost 100 people out on the lawn. It was great. And I'm expecting as big or bigger crowd this Thursday night.
Yeah. I mean, what's the hope for this series? This is something you started a few years ago, right?
Yeah, this is our third year.
So what is the hope that people get out of this? Obviously, it's just, you know, a big part of it is let's do a community event where people can enjoy it, have a good time.
Yeah, it's just that shared experience of sitting on the lawn, and we call it the big screen under the big sky. And it's just kind of fun being outside and feeling the elements. And
yeah, there's something a little different about watching it outside.
Yeah, it's like going to the drive-in as a kid.
Yeah. You can bring your own blankets, bring your
tub of
dinner,
popcorn, whatever you want.
Are there going to be like snacks and stuff available, or is this bring your own?
There will be popcorn.
Oh, okay.
But that's it. Everything else you bring.
Okay. And that's fine. You can bring your stuff, lay out your blanket, and hang out. How should people get there? Pretty early? Or, I mean, you've been through this a couple years. You know how it works.
I set up my lawn chair about a half an hour before the movie starts, and I'm usually pretty good.
There you go. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Again, it's coming up on Thursday, and it'll kick off. It depends on when the sun decides to go down and when it gets dark, but we know that's going to be about 8:30, 8:45, right in there somewhere.
Exactly.
And it'll go on for, about an hour and a half movie?
It's a little over an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So we'll be done by 10:30.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic evening. And this isn't just you bringing a sheet from your house and taping it up on the wall. I mean, this is a professionally done, this is a good deal.
We contract with a company out of Bozeman called Funflix, and they have a 21-foot inflatable screen and premier sound system and projection, and it's just like being in a movie theater. It's great.
Yeah. It's going to be so fantastic. Again, it's on Thursday down at Anchor Park. So go check that out. It's The Goonies. You don't really really need an excuse to go watch The Goonies. I was looking at your calendar real quickly this morning, too, and something coming else. It's next Tuesday night. It's a game night. I know we always talk about that, but that's another family thing to kind of get in before school really gets going.
Absolutely. It's a huge, huge night every month. You know, 35, 40 family folks just playing games, eating pizza. It's a fun night.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and we want to get that family time in and squeeze it in because summer all of a sudden vanished on us.
Disappears, yeah.
Yeah, it's all of a sudden. We got that teaser on Saturday of guess what, fall's coming.
Right.
Back to summer for a little bit, but school is not that far away.
Yeah, I imagine snow is probably 4 weeks away.
Oh, there you go. Sorry, Kurt.
Yeah.
Kurt's got a shovel when it starts snowing. He wants to keep mowing lawns for a little bit. I wanted to check out with you, John, something that you've got going on, or at least something that's coming up is construction.
Yep.
You've been sort of in the planning design stages right now, but that's getting ready to sort of shift into actual construction.
Yeah, we actually have a calendar in front of us that says that we're going to start doing some outside work in October, and walls will start coming down in November.
Okay.
And once those walls come down, we'll be in the middle of 8 months of construction.
And what is the goal for all that? Because people hear construction in the library, and they're probably a little bit concerned about, you know, can I still go to the library, and what's it going to look like? Because I love my library. What are they doing to it?
We are completely reconfiguring the first floor of the library. We are putting in brand new bathrooms. Our bathrooms are the most heavily used bathrooms in the city, and it shows. So we're putting in brand new bathrooms. We're reconfiguring our children's and teen spaces and moving those and expanding. We're improving our meeting room spaces. We're adding some private study rooms. We're collapsing our two desks into one service point, and just generally improving the way patrons will be able to use the library. It will look completely different.
Yeah, well, and it's all about increasing, just making it better, right? Increasing the flow, making things just move easier and function better.
Absolutely.
And this is all going to take, you said, about eight months or so?
Yeah.
Because the idea is, let's do this, but remain open, which makes sort of an intricate dance.
We are going to remain open during the entire process. Our construction company, Dick Anderson Construction, has great ways of separating work from the life of the library. We may not offer 100% services, but we will offer as good a service as we can during that process.
Yeah. John Finn, the director of the Lewis and Clark Public Library, is our guest this morning. And something we should probably point out, just for those that don't know, this is not a taxpayer-funded project.
Well, it is. So we are a very fiscally responsible agency. And over the years, we put money into our depreciation reserve fund. And so we actually have the money in savings.
Right. I guess, I should have clarified. Yeah. It's not, there's not a levy coming out.
No levy.
There's no, yeah.
Nope.
This is something that you've been saving for.
We have been saving for it.
Yeah. I worded that very poorly.
No, though. That's okay. Just like when we put our new roof on, we did not have to ask the voters or the county for additional funds.
Right.
We had that money in savings.
Yeah. So, don't worry about that. There's nothing coming, folks. John is very good at this. What are some other things coming up as school gets ready to get started? Because I'm guessing that's very much a shift in season for you, just as much as it is for parents when school gets going. The library, things look different. Programs look a little bit different.
They do. So we actually slow down a little bit from the transition from summer to school, but our big thing every fall is the big read. And so October is our month for big read this year. Our big read book is Lab Girl by Hope Gerrans, written in 2016. It's a very science-based book. A lot of our programs are going to be about botany and lab work and the scientific method. We're going to have lots of great programs, about 30 programs.
Okay. And we'll have you in here a little bit down the road to talk a little bit more about the big read and about about that book, because that's always a fantastic program. And you get a lot of really good community involvement with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really cool. And people can go online and check out your website, newly redesigned, newly redesigned.
Yeah, it's just about 4 weeks old.
Yeah, it looks really, really good and very easy to navigate.
It's now mobile friendly.
Yeah. Well, and it was mobile before, but not super friendly.
Yeah. Now it's a little more friendly.
Yeah. It's a fantastic site. So get on there. There's a calendar. You can find out what's going on. All kinds of information available on there. John, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks a lot, Troy.
I appreciate it. We're going to get you all. We'll talk with Patty and you, and we'll get you on the schedule to talk Big Read here in the fall.
That sounds great. Thanks.
Stick around. We've got more Coffee Break. Tyler Rehm is coming up next. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk. Now, back to our show. Welcome back into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for sticking around. And our guest to finish out the show is Helena Public School Superintendent Tyler Rehm. Tyler, how was the summer?
Good. It was fast.
Yeah.
A little busy.
Right? Yeah. You, as an administrator, you don't quite get to take the summer off, right? I mean, it's a little bit different for you.
No, I did take a week.
Okay.
And sincerely enjoyed that week. But other than that, no, we've been on all summer.
Did you vacation where? I mean, usually you would take a week off and vacation in Montana. So
absolutely. So we went all the way to Kalispell.
Okay. Well, that family's up there, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I went to spend time with family and had some family that came into town. So it was awesome.
Yeah. No, that's very cool. But it's been a really busy summer for you in terms of school district business. I mean, sort of paramount on the top of that list. We've got some new schools that we're going to break in here in just a few days.
Probably. You know, it's hard to quantify this. Probably our busiest summer to date.
I would imagine.
Yeah, most school districts don't open three schools
all
at one time.
Right. Yeah.
And so we set out on that destination and we're really thankful for the opportunity to do so.
Well, and teachers were able to start getting in a couple weeks ago, I imagine. Are the first scuffs on the wall yet? Like, who's the first person?
Right? Here and there. What did I hear about the other day? Yeah, we were using one of the movable walls and, you know, we broke that. So that, you know, that happens. That's right. That's kind of like moving.
Oh, well, we moved into this new building and everyone was terrified to make that first dent in the wall or the first scuff on the floor.
Yep. And then it happens and it's okay. It's part of what happens.
Well, you
schools.
Say it's okay now, right? Like, it's okay 3 weeks later.
Once we add, you know, 600 students to the mix,
right.
Stuff happens.
Well, I mean, what's it been like coming in during this time? I mean, it's a bit of getting thrown in the deep end when you started, right? But now you've gotten to see those things start ground up and those schools
right
come in, and that's got to be neat.
It's amazing. Yeah, to think back to, 13, 14 months ago when we were largely laying the foundations and playing in dirt, to see what has happened over the last year is just, it's amazing. And to walk into the buildings, it felt like we spent so long looking at the schools from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important aspect, but not the most important aspect. The instructional spaces to me are the most important aspect of the school. And to walk into the schools and really, it kind of comes to fruition how they were designed to really support students and educators. Pretty amazing.
Well, and you talk about just the outside. I mean, you can look at the outside and have a pretty good idea that if it looks that cool from the outside, things on the inside are going to be right.
Yeah, very different. Very different from kind of the general design philosophy of even the schools that I ever had a chance to serve in, which were largely small windows covered with low-hanging roofs and, you know, things like that. And now a lot of open space in terms of natural light and things like that. I mean, you can conceivably teach in any one of these three new schools without the lights on.
Wow.
They have that much natural light, which is great for kids. Makes them feel good.
Well, and my wife, a middle school teacher, jealous simply for the fact that they have air conditioning. Like, that's the one thing.
Yeah, we took the leap in 2019 and added air conditioning.
Right.
And I think that makes a difference. I think any educator, and I think a lot of us have been there, where you're in a classroom and it's 90 degrees outside, you add 25 bodies it's 100 degrees inside. That's well, a hard
middle schoolers aren't necessarily a good smelling bunch of kids to start off with, right?
It's like, a tough learning environment. You know, it's hard to pull off your lesson objective when those are the kind of the conditions that you're teaching in. So we're really thankful for that. And I think it'll make a difference in terms of the quality of learning.
Yeah, it's really neat. We are actually driving by Jim Darcy the other day, my daughter and I, and she says, you're sure that's not a high school dad?
Kind of has that look. Yeah. I think it's the wing. The wings come out at you from the street.
She says, it's huge.
Yeah.
So she's jealous as well. And I said, well, you're moving into high school now. That's an elementary school.
That's right. That's right.
I said, maybe it'll be cooler in your new building. It won't be quite as warm there. She's hoping.
Yeah. And I think there's going to be, and even I have it, when I walk in, I think, oh gosh, I wish I could teach in this space.
Yeah.
Never had this opportunity. There's going to be a little bit of that envy, and that's okay. I think the important piece, though, is that these three new schools belong to all of us. This is something we did as a community for our kids, and I think it's a pretty amazing symbol of how we value our children.
Well, and you've got ribbon cuttings coming up, right? I mean, before the kids get to storm the castle, what is it, Friday?
Friday we have ribbon cuttings, 3 o'clock at Jim Darcy, 4 o'clock at Central, and 5 o'clock. I'm sorry, 4 o'clock at Bryant, 5 o'clock at Central. And then part of the Central ceremony is the dedication of the library to Jack Copp's former superintendent.
Mm-hmm. And he's fantastic.
He is. And you know, this happens largely because of the leadership of Jack Copp's. And so I think it's wonderful to have the opportunity to recognize his service. You know, when he stepped in as the interim superintendent, he was happily retired and certainly did not need to do that. And he did it because of his love for the community. And so it's really nice. It's a small token, but to be able to come back and say, this is the Jack Copp's library.
Yeah.
It's going to be a special evening. I mean, for me, I hope for Jack and certainly for his family.
Yeah, I mean, I think special for him as well. I mean, because he recognizes that. I mean, I think that's a big deal, and that's a really neat thing. And then on Saturday, it's hey, come and look at our new stuff day, right?
Yeah, it's just kind of an open house day from 9 to, I think, 4 o'clock. We're going to have the schools open and just, you know, ask the community, you know, if you're, you know, in the area, stop in, check it out, walk through. If you're, you know, downtown at the farmer's market, you know, turn right and go up the hill a little bit and walk through Central, and just hopefully it's a nice casual Saturday and just gives us again a chance to say thank you to our community.
Well, and talking about Central, there were this summer because we had talk. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this, and my brain is not moving fast enough this morning. There was talk about changing the way the streets worked over there, as far as one way and all that. There's some community meetings. What happened through that process? Where are we at there?
Yeah, so the process goes back quite a few months. I think one of the things that we continually heard from the Central community is an excitement that the children were kind of moving back to the neighborhood, and that's a pretty historic spot for us in Helena in terms of education. Has been occurring on that location for well over 100 years. But at the same time, you know, we weren't talking about parking lots the last time we built Central School, and there's not a lot of space for those parking lots. And so, as I understand it from a community perspective, there was a lot of parking that occurred, a lot of traffic that occurred in some pretty narrow streets in there. And so working with the community to figure out, okay, you know, how do we want drop off to work, and how do we potentially work with our community so that we're not constantly pushing cars back through the neighborhood? One of the proposals, and how do we increase parking for our staff? One of the proposals, it was actually something that board member trustee Terry Beaver came up with, was what if 7th, which is a fairly kind of small street there that runs just south of the school. What if there's parallel parking along there and that becomes a one way? So largely as parents pull up to drop off right in front of the school, they're encouraged to turn right, which kind of drives the traffic out of the neighborhood and back to Cruz, which can better handle the traffic than if they were to turn left and go back through the neighborhood. So the city, we had some community meetings, or a community meeting. The city made the decision last week, and so now it's largely a city process in terms of, you know, when to make that final decision. But I think it will help. It's not the problem solved by any means. We're going to work on, you know, what parking is available around Cruz, certainly Lawrence as well. But, you know, I think it's important that we continue to work with our neighbors to make sure that they feel comfortable with the traffic flow and that it's safe for children to walk to school.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. It's got to be safe for the kids. And we're actually next week on Tuesday. So, it is a week from today. It's coming on Tuesday. We're going to be down live at the Bagel Company on Last Chance, and we've got, I believe, three different school resource officers.
Nice.
Coming in, and that's one of the things. I mean, that's pretty much central to what we want to talk about is just safety.
Safety, absolutely.
School's getting ready to start, and there's lots of safety issues, but sort of paramount among them, I suppose, is that drop off and pick up.
Yeah, drop off, pick up, again, school safety, which to me includes how safe are you from the moment that you leave the door to the moment that you walk back into your home at the end of the day. So that includes really safe walkways, keeping traffic and speed down in the neighborhoods, things like that, so that we provide a really safe opportunity for students to walk to school. Central, for example, is welcoming, I believe, three kindergarten classes this year. So that's positive momentum in terms of the, potentially the growth in that particular neighborhood. And those are, I think, part of the attraction for that particular school is I can live right here. I can walk to school. And we want students to walk to school. That's a pretty amazing thing to be able to walk to your school. But we want them to be safe in doing so.
Yeah. So everybody out there listening, if you're driving around in the mornings and the afternoons, don't be a knucklehead. Watch where you're going. There's going to be kids out on the roads. They're darting across the road because they got to get to school. That's all that's on their mind is they have to get to school. So you have to be defensive. You have to watch out for them.
Yeah, traffic definitely slows down a week from tomorrow when we open school. We'll have students walking to school. We'll have buses and drop off and all of that. So it's exciting. You know? I love starting a school.
Right. My kiddo goes to dance team practice this afternoon.
Yeah,
so she's starting high school before high school starts.
That's right.
I don't know if I'm quite ready for that. It's
all the activities and athletics; they're already rolling.
Yeah, Tyler Ream is our guest this morning. We got about 5 minutes left, and I guess the new schools weren't necessarily the only sites of construction, were they? I mean, there were sort of projects all over town,
absolutely,
and some of them related.
Right.
To those projects, it sort of was a whole dance.
Yeah, so we will now have 10 schools. When we open school, we'll have 10 schools that have had the safety and security upgrades. That includes the three new schools that was incorporated into that design. But Smith and Broadwater were under construction over the summer and still in some ways are under construction with all of those new safety and security upgrades. Smith, for example, the idea is moving the office to the front so that, again, 2019, we know who's in our building, why they're in our building. That's a pretty important piece. Maybe when the school was designed, putting the office in the center of the school and allowing folks to enter and kind of walk around before they got to the office was okay. I think we see it a little differently now. So all of those safety and security upgrades are important. That work will continue next summer as well when we finish out the bond work that includes those safety and security upgrades.
Yeah, and there's roof work done, there were portable buildings moved.
Lots of that.
It was a busy summer.
Right, yeah, we moved some of the mobile classrooms that were originally at Jim Darcy to help relieve some needs at other schools. So Kessler got a mobile, Warren got a mobile. That's not an easy process for any of that. So there was work done. And then there's the general maintenance work. I mean, these 2.5 months are really important for us to do a deep clean on schools. It's hard to do during the school year. And so how do you paint and prep and get ready to go for the school year? And that's work that we're in use 9.5 months, 10 months out of the year. We only have a small window of time to try to do a lot of work.
Yeah. We've only got a few minutes left, so I don't know how deeply we want to delve into it, but budget's always fun. The end of the school year last year, it wasn't necessarily looking perfect, wasn't looking great, but we set up a new budget for this year. One element of that, of course, is we got East Helena students starting.
Sure. Yeah.
Out there. They're going to have kids in their classrooms.
They are, yeah.
Do we know what, numbers-wise, what that did to the budget and like how many kids are we not going to see back in our district this year? They're going out there.
Yeah, we won't know it officially until the first day of school or maybe the first week of school in terms of the numbers of students that have registered in East Helena versus perhaps East Helena students that have registered at Helena High School, Capital High School, et cetera. We anticipated right around 100. We budgeted for around 100, and it looks like that's largely the number that is we're going to be close to that number. Okay. So from a budgetary standpoint, it looks like that was a pretty good estimate for us to consider from a budget. We've set up the budget. The high school budget actually looks pretty good at this point, but I put a strong word of caution out there. This is the first year where we'll see decline in terms of our enrollment, and we'll be in a decline for the next 4 years. And so we're simply preparing for what will be some challenging years coming, you know, going forward. We did not run an operational levy at our high school this last spring. We simply, it would have cost more to do the election than the levy was actually going to yield for us. And that's the reality that we're going to be in for the next 4 years. So our budget is largely flat. I think the IR ran a great story yesterday, and I certainly appreciated that.
We still got a minute left.
Okay, good. But I think a lot of folks read that to see that the budget was up 7%. That's actually not the case. It's actually well below 1%. And our goal is to stay below the inflationary increase, which is really important for us. So whatever the inflationary increase is, stay below that, because we know we're going to have limited means in the next 4 years.
Yeah, we'll delve maybe a little deeper into budget next time, because I know that takes a little bit if we want to break it down and actually get into specifics, and I know you like doing that.
Love a good budget discussion.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Really quickly, the Stuff the Bus campaign just finished up. How cool is it to see the community come out and support? I mean, that's a really neat program.
It was awesome. I mean, I got to spend one of the mornings just visiting local businesses that had gathered supplies. That really is a community-wide effort in support of our most in-need kids, and I think it speaks, I mean, that's Helena. That's who we are. And a lot of folks took their own resources to do something great to help a kid start school in the right way. So thank you to our Helena community for that. Yeah. And Angel Fund.
Yeah, fantastic people, fantastic operation. Tyler, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Now we're all out of time.
There we go.
I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.